Before I introduce our native artists and interns, I want to mention our Lamont fellow who couldn't be present today. Under a special arrangement, the Haida couture designer, Dorothy Grant, will be here in the spring. Dorothy is arguably one of the, maybe the most distinguished Native American fashionista, a very successful line of women's clothing. She's been given the Order of Canada, which I understand to be the highest civilian honor available to Canadians. And she'll be here working in the spring on her autobiography. This year's Rollin and Mary Ella King Fellow is Timothy Azuni Potter, and he'll tell you about his project.
Timothy I come from the Pueblo of Zuni. I've been a resident there all my life. I've gotten interested with pottery a while back, and I got my formal education on the pottery making back in high school. And the person that taught me was Gabriel Paloma. He was the one that actually got me into the basics of pottery making. And from there, I did not really get too much into it until years later when I met my former partner. And from there, I got more interested into the pottery making of Zuni, especially around the time period of 1680 when the evolution of Zuni pottery started evolving. The focus on this one piece that I'm here for is called the Ashuri pot, and that's the pot labeled number one here at SCR. And there's this story about this one particular pot that really interested me because of the oral traditions of what our people went through during the Pueblo Revolt. During this time, about 20 plus years, the communities of Zuni Pueblo, there was Hawiku, Matsakia, Kyakima, Kechibawa, Halawana, they all fled up to the stronghold Mesa and stayed up there for about 23 plus years. And when they were up there, they kept going back and forth down into the valley to try and reestablish these home sites. But when they did, I guess it was still too violent during those times, warfare with our neighbors, with the Navajo tribes and Apaches and the Spanish. So they kept going up to the Mesa until they finally decided that it was time to come down. And instead of going to their original home sites, they founded Zuni Pueblo, Halona Itiwana. When they did that, this was the founding of everything that is Zuni today. And this is why I hold the Ashuri piece that's here at SCR, a symbolic representation of this merging of all the Pueblo communities from the Zuni Valley area. And this is what I'm focusing on by researching the shapes and transitions of the Zuni pottery that is known today. It started from the Matsakia type of pottery, which is prehistoric, pre-Hispanic, leading to Ashuri polychrome, then Kayapkwa, then modern Zuni pottery. From there, I've been looking at a lot of the collections here, and I've seen a lot of the transitional phases of the pottery, and that's what's been really interesting me, especially with the designs especially. Because a lot of it have symbolic representations of rain, prayers, and symbolic meanings of the potter's intentions on what they want on the pots. As we were discussing, Patty and I, we were discussing about the symbology, especially what they were focusing on was prayers for rain, mostly, on these pots, these vessels. And that's what we were discussing and debating and fun arguing about some of the designs, what they could mean. And it pretty much really got me to look much more deeper into what the symbology of these designs mean, especially for the Zuni time period of Ashuri polychrome. And that's my project for here, because I want to relearn some of these designs that are pretty much dominant during this period, because it shows an involvement from Matsakia to the transition of Ashuri, when the basic shape of the pot was more globular, and that was a dominant type of shape which was known in this area, the Rio Grande area, from that time period, that trading, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the people fleeing from this area, the Rio Grande, fled west, and I know a lot of them have stories of migrating for sanctuary, fleeing from the Spanish. And when they did, I know they brought ideas of different pottery shapes and pottery designs, especially the paint. They switched from a glaze paint to a matte paint finish. From there on, it evolved again, and they left the glazeware paint and they switched more to a matte paint finish. When they started doing that, the designs also changed, and that's when it started radically changing from the prehistoric Sukiyaki style designs to more of the early beginnings of what Zuni designs were becoming, the transition. And for my project here, I'm going to replicate the Ashui pot. Because of the shape, it's really hard to actually put together, because the first time I made a piece like that, I had a hard time trying to make it because it collapsed on me because of the weight and what I call the spare tire, or mid-bulge around the pot. That was kind of too heavy, but trial and error, I figured it out, and then I made the shape. And then I focused on more of the designs because the designs, they're more feathery, which I've noticed when with some of the collections that I have seen here, that the designs from that time period were mostly feathers. And a lot of feather imagery from that time, it kept repeating over and over. So I was concluding that these were prayers for rain and just symbolic prayers for probably a lot of things, that what the potter had intentions about when they were building the pot. After my research, I will recreate a historic Zuni stubble from one of the collections here in the Ashui pot using the traditional methods with the clay, the paints, the pigments, and the shards. All that comes from Zuni land. And a lot of it, especially the shards, it's a funny story. One of the archaeologists at Flagstaff, Arizona, he brought a big box which accumulated about a year's worth of police stops. And when they were doing these police blocks, they would look through the vehicles and they would find pottery shards that they would pick up at the sites. So I'm pretty sure these sites that they were picking these shards from were from Wapaki. A lot of these shards, they didn't know where they came from, so he labeled them as dead shards. And it was just growing to a year's worth. And then he had like about two huge boxes of shards that accumulated with over a year's worth. When he approached me at the Zuni art show in Flagstaff, he asked me if I use shards for temper in my clay, and I said yes. So when he brought it over, I was expecting like a small bag, and here he brought this huge box over, and then I didn't really expect that much. So a lot of the shards that I use is from the Flagstaff area. So there is real prehistoric shards that I actually use and crush for grog in my clay. And with the paints and the pigments, all that I search on Zuni land. Everything comes from Zuni land. As for the paint and the hematite ore, that is also local from Zuni. After my study and research, what I will learn from here, from the archives and collections at SCR, I hope to verify and better understand the transition from Ashui polychrome to present-day modern Zuni pottery. I plan to reintroduce this type of elaborate designs used by my ancestors to present-day Zuni potters who are unaware of the older transitional shapes and forms. I would like to verify the use and shapes and designs of the prehistoric and historic pots for the use in my art and for the knowledge to be passed to the public and Pueblo. In hopes this will add credibility and recognition for my art, a dying tradition in my Pueblo. Thank you. Alakoa.